Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Chapter entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Text number 10. Devasya Mayaya Sprishta. Chanyad asad ashrita Brahmyate dirna tad vakyair Atman yuptat manoharo Devasya of the personality of Godhead. Maya, by the influence of the external energy. Sprishta, infected. Yay, all those. Cha, and. Anyat, others. Asat, illusory. Ashrita, being taken to. Brahmyate, bewilder. Ti, intelligence. Na, not. Tat, of them. Vakyai, by those words. Atmani, in the Supreme Self. Upta Atmana, surrendered souls. Haro unto the Lord. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. Translation responsibly. Under no circumstances. And the words of persons, bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to all the evidences of the Vedas. He is accepted by all Acharyas, including Sripad Shankaracharya. But when he was present in the world, different classes of men accepted him differently, and therefore their calculations of the Lord were also different. Generally, persons who had faith in the revealed scriptures accepted the Lord as he is, and all of them merged into great bereavement when the Lord disappeared from the world. In the first canto, we have already discussed the lamentation of Arjuna and Yudhishthira, to whom the disappearance of Lord Krishna was almost intolerable up to the end of their lives. The Yadavas were only partially cognizant of the Lord, but they are also glorious because they had the opportunity to associate with the Lord, who acted as the head of their family, and they also rendered the Lord intimate service. The Yadavas and other devotees of the Lord are different from those who wrongly calculated him to be an ordinary human personality. Such persons are certainly bewildered by the illusory energy. They are hellish and are envious of the Supreme Lord. The illusory energy acts very powerfully on them because, in spite of their elevated mundane education, such persons are faithless and are infected by the mentality of atheism. They are always very eager to establish the Lord. That Lord Krishna was an ordinary man who was killed by a hunter due to his many impious acts in plotting to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and Jarasandha, the demoniac kings of the earth. Such persons have no faith in the statement of the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is unaffected by the reactions of work. Namam kamani limpanti. According to the atheistic point of view, Lord Krishna's family, the Yadu dynasty, was vanquished due to being cursed by the Brahmanas for the sins committed by Krishna in killing the sons of Dhritarashtra, etc. All these blasphemies do not touch the heart of the devotees of the Lord, because they know perfectly well what is what. Their intelligence regarding the Lord is never disturbed. But those who are disturbed by the statements of the Asuras are also condemned. That is what Uddhava meant in this verse. Omigyan tibadandashya genanjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam tadati swa vedantikam vancha kaupata rubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama, Hare Hare. So, these are the first four chapters of the Bhagavatam, third canto. So the first four chapters, are you chanting or are you listening? Yeah, can't do both. Has to be one or the other. So, the first four chapters discuss a synopsis of Krishna's pastimes. When he came to earth. Now, the Bhagavatam is spoken in how many cantos? There are 12 cantos, right? So what is the point of the Bhagavatam? What is the main point? The main point of the Bhagavatam is to glorify Krishna. Because Vyasa has written many literatures, many Puranas. There are 18 Puranas, of which the Bhagavatam is one. 18 major Puranas, 18 minor Puranas. He's written all of this work, but still he has to write a final work. And this final work is primarily a description of Krishna. Because if you look at the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam, how many chapters are there? There's about 330, around about 330 chapters. So of the 330 chapters, 90 are the 10th canto. Right? So the 10th canto is the, you could say it's like, it's practically, what's that, a quarter or over a quarter, between a quarter and a third of the Bhagavatam is just the 10th canto. So primarily, this is just speaking on Krishna's pastimes. And then the 11th canto is Krishna speaking to Uddhava, most of it. So it's, you know, primarily it's Krishna directly, it's Krishna's pastimes still directly. And then in the beginning of the third canto, the first four chapters are directly dealing with Krishna. It's like an overview of his pastimes. So very early in the Bhagavatam, we're getting an overview of the pastimes, and then the pastimes will be discussed in detail in the 10th canto. So the 10th canto is called the Ashraya, which means it's the shelter. It means it's the actual essence of the Bhagavatam. It's the goal of the Bhagavatam. And then if we go to the first canto, from chapters 7 onwards, then Krishna directly appears within the Bhagavatam. So from 7 to, I'm not sure what it is, 11, 12, like that, I think. In those chapters, then Krishna is directly involved. He appears within the Bhagavatam. First time you see him is in the 7th chapter of the first canto. And then he's there until maybe the 11th chapter or the 12th chapter, like that. So Krishna, the Bhagavatam is mainly about Krishna. And the essential verse, or the governing verse, it's called the Paribhasa Sutra, which means the emperor verse, or the governing verse of the whole Bhagavatam, is in Canto 1, Chapter 3, verse number 28. Ete cham sakala pumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original form of God. So everything in the Bhagavatam is supporting this verse. Everything is governed by this verse. Everything is elaborating on this verse. So what is this verse telling? That he is the original personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And as we study the whole Bhagavatam, every verse, the 18,000 verses, they are all supporting this verse. So what is the main point of the verse? That Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So when we hear in the third canto, you hear about creation. How many times is creation discussed in canto 3? We're just about to go through canto 3. Highly technical. Right? Three times in this canto, creation is discussed in detail at length. So we're going to hear about it again and again and again. And the final part of the third canto is the teachings of Kapila, which is very technical. It's probably the most technical part of the whole Bhagavatam. So next, it's going to take 1 or 2 years, probably 2 years to go through this third canto. Next 2 years is going to be highly technical. It's going to be the creation again and again and again. The creation is very technical. So why is all this being spoken? If the Bhagavatam is about Krishna's pastimes, then why is all this being discovered? Being discussed? Because it is supporting the fact that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Right? Even though he may appear like a cowherd boy, or factually speaking, he is a cowherd boy, but that cowherd boy is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mataha savam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of everything, both spiritual and material. Everything emanates from me. So everything in the Bhagavatam is supporting that one point. This cowherd boy is the original supreme personality of Godhead. He's the original form of God. He is Swayam Bhagavan. So everything which is being discussed is supporting that. So here we're hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. Vidura and Uddhava have met. Right? And there'll be a description about the pastimes of Krishna. A brief description, just like a synopsis, like that. It gives like a brief description of what will come in the 10th canto. So, it's an interesting story or interesting pastime. Vidura has gone on pilgrimage. Right? We've heard that he's left. He was insulted by Duryodhana. So what did he do? Right? He had some difficulty in his life, right? And he understood that's Krishna's arrangement for me to surrender more to Krishna. What does it mean when there is difficulty in our life?
Starting of devotion of life.
Right? It means it is the arrangement of Krishna. Right. If we're having a difficult time in our life, hands up if you're having a difficult time in your life.
Yes.
Oh my God. What sort of temple is this? Maybe I should go to Sydney Temple. Everyone's having difficulty in their life. You all said it in front of the deities. Right? The deities are giving it to you. It is their Maha Prasad. Here. Come and join the temple. And now I will give you a hard time. I will make your life difficult. So then, you see that some devotees, when they're going through difficulty, they cope with the difficulty. And you see other devotees do not cope with the difficulty. Everything we go through in our devotional service, it is a test from Krishna. So some devotees, they pass the test and some devotees don't pass the test. Right? Now, how does it become more likely that we will pass the test? Right? When we take shelter of Prabhupada's books. Right? And I've seen that. Devotees who take shelter of Prabhupada's books, who read them regularly, who regularly come to classes, they pass the tests. Doesn't mean the tests are easy, but they pass them. Where devotees who are not absorbed, right, in studying Prabhupada's books, quite often they have difficulties. Right? It's a differentiating factor. And that's why Prabhupada said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, they do not read my books. Right? So we must read Prabhupada's books regularly. Right? Because then when we go through difficulties, then we can take shelter. We have shelter. We have ashraya. So what did Vidura do? Right? He went through difficulty, very difficult. Right? But he took shelter of Krishna. He understood this is a divine arrangement. Right? If something difficult is happening to me, it is an arrangement of Krishna. Krishna has a greater plan. Even Prabhupada went through things like this. Right? Prabhupada worked so hard. 1965, he arrived in America. By 1970, he'd established the Los Angeles Temple, which he called his world headquarters, which is our Western headquarters, the Los Angeles Temple. And then 1970, there was a conspiracy by Prabhupada's disciples, right? Some of them became influenced by Mayavada philosophy, and they were saying Prabhupada was God. They were saying he was Krishna. So like the Prabhupada had come all this way, spent 5 years, the movement was becoming established, and you know, he had temples, you know, at the Los Angeles Temple, Rukmini Dwarkadish were installed. You know, he had like, the movement was going, and then he faced difficulty. Right? Some of his sannyasi disciples were preaching Mayavada philosophy. They were, because Mayavadi means that we're all one. So they'll bring Prabhupada's position down, saying Prabhupada is not so important. This was being preached. So poison had entered the movement. So then Prabhupada, he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj walked in. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, when he walked in the room, Prabhupada was looking very grey. He wasn't looking very effulgent. He was looking very... And Prabhupada said, take me away from here immediately. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, where do you want to go? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I'll take you to New York. And Prabhupada said, it is not far enough. And then he said, I'll take you to Japan. He said, no. He said, we will go to India. So then they booked the flight. Next day they got on the flight, three or four of them, and flew out. Right? So that was these are the difficulties Prabhupada went through. Right? It wasn't easy for Prabhupada. It was difficult. So many challenges, right? And he came before Rukmini Dwarkadish, and he said to Rukmini Dwarkadish, he said, now I've developed this temple. You are here. Why are you sending me away? Everything seems like it's going so well. Why are you sending me away? Prabhupada said he could not understand. And then he left, and then he went to India, and he established Mayapur, he established Juhu, and he established Vrindavan. And when the temple was built in Vrindavan, 1975, they opened the temple. Then Prabhupada said, now I can understand Krishna had a plan. And he sent me away from Los Angeles, because he sent me to India. And now so much has happened. So it means Krishna has a plan. That's how a devotee feels. When our life is difficult, it means Krishna has a plan. He's not doing it just because he has nothing to do. You know, it's not like he's standing there all day with his flute and he thinks, well, you know, I need to cause some trouble in the temple just so I've got some action. You know, when everyone walks in, I can see the look on their face. No, he has a purpose, right? He's trying to bring us back to him. So an advanced devotee, or someone who is advancing, they understand when there's difficulties, it's coming from Krishna. It's not ordinary. We have to learn to see like that. Right? When the difficulties come, right, you just put your head down. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, like the korma, like the tortoise. You withdraw within, you just put your head down, and you say, here it comes again. Right? Comes every week or year or month or, you know when you can feel it. Just like the other day, I had this day, I think it was last Thursday. I could just feel it. You know, you wake up in the morning and just feel, here it comes. You know, there's something coming today. You know, just waiting for it, like, okay, what's gonna come? So you know. So you don't take it so seriously. That's why last night we were discussing in our Bhaktivedanta class, then one of the qualities Krishna says in Gita, the first quality he gives in the 18th chapter of a Brahmana is Sama. Sama means equipoised. A devotee is equipoised. Because he understands there's going to be good, there's going to be bad. Right? That is life. That is devotion life. Even when you become a devotee, it doesn't all change. It's not like just blissful all the time. Yeah. Unless your name is Jai Jagannath. Yeah, Jai Jagannath is like... Yeah, I've never seen a devotee last that long. It's called spurti. When you first come to devotion to Krishna gives you spurti. It means like he gives you a drop of nectar on your head and it covers you. Usually it lasts about 6 months, 12 months, maybe 18 months, something like that. And you're just walking around in bliss. Yeah, and then suddenly, yeah, but he, I don't know what's happening with him. So. just like keeps going. It's like this. So this is called spriti. This is bliss. So, but you know, right, even as a devotee, when you're a devotee, it doesn't mean the problems become less. Even the problems may become more. Right? Because that's the material world. Material world is not our home. So Krishna is trying to show, this is not your home. Come back to me. So he makes it difficult. So Vidura, he understood, okay, it's difficult now, what will I do? I surrender to Krishna. So he goes on pilgrimage. And then who does he meet? Right? He meets Uddhava. Right? Now who is Uddhava? Yeah, best. Right? In Dwarka, he is the closest associate. Right? He's actually his cousin. They're cousins. And he is so Krishna conscious, he is the same color as Krishna. His body is the same complexion as Krishna, Shyam. Right? Because he's so Krishna conscious, he became consciousness. His consciousness made his complexion turn the same color. And he only wears Krishna's remnants. He doesn't wear anything else. Because Krishna only wears something once. So Krishna wears a dhoti, and Krishna's dhoti is golden color, reminding him of Srimati Radharani. So then Uddhava, when Krishna takes off his dhoti, next day Uddhava wears that dhoti. Prabhupada said, when the deities, when their clothes become old, we can give them to the children to wear. We can make costumes out of the deities' clothes and the children can wear them. So he only wears the clothes of Krishna. So he looks very much like Krishna. Actually, he looks almost identical to Krishna. He's Krishna's cousin. And he only eats Krishna's remnants. Right? He won't eat anything except what Krishna leaves on his plate. He's so Krishna conscious. So in Dwarka, he is the greatest devotee of Krishna. So he was there at the end, right? Because at the end of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna was in Dwarka. And then suddenly, Dwarka, there was inauspicious omens. Just like I walked into the temple this morning. I got out of the car. I was feeling a little unwell, so I didn't come for the kirtan. So I pulled up in front of the temple, and there was a big rainbow, which is extremely auspicious. And it was not dark. There was sun coming through, and there was a light mist or light rain, which is very auspicious. So I walked in the temple and I didn't even know Devamrita Swami was here and he was leading kirtan. So just by his presence, then everything became auspicious. It was powerful. Right? So generally, wherever the devotee is or wherever Krishna is, everything becomes auspicious. So Dwarka is the holy dharma. But in Dwarka, there were inauspicious omens. So then Uddhava, he saw the omens. He said, this is very strange. You know, why? You know, things were falling. Parts of the buildings were falling onto the street and strange things. These things don't happen when Krishna is present. So he understood because he's very intelligent. Uddhava is the disciple of Brihaspati. He's extremely intelligent. So he went to Krishna, he's very intelligent. He said, there's inauspicious omens. He said, this cannot happen when you are here. He said, this means that you are about to leave. And Krishna said, it is true, I'm about to leave. And Uddhava said, then I cannot stay. He said, if you leave, then I want to leave before you. And he said, I cannot tolerate to be here when you are not here. So he said, I want to leave now, before you leave. And Krishna said, no, I have a service for you to do. So Prabhupada taught us there are two types of association with the guru. One is Vani, one is Vapu. Now, which is more important? Vani, right? Because Vapu is not always there. You cannot always get the association of your guru, but you can always associate with the instruction. So Krishna, he said to Uddhava, I want you to stay, which is very difficult instruction. When the guru gives you instruction, it doesn't mean it will be easy. And when you become advanced, he gives you difficult instructions. Devotees were traveling with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada went to India, he went back, and then he wrote, he said, send 40 devotees. So they sent 40 devotees, they all came, Madhudwiza, Bhavananda Prabhu, Japataka Swami, powerful devotees, like demigods, all these devotees. So they all came with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was traveling around India. he called them his dancing white elephants. Right? 40, these powerful devotees. And they're traveling around, they're just doing programs. Prabhupada was on a march. It's like a general, Senapati, general. Mm-hmm. You're just moving. Sometimes he'd be doing four programs a day. He's just like powering through India, you know, just making. ISKCON was just becoming huge. So then they would travel on the trains. Prabhupada never used airplanes. Interesting. He would not use airplanes in India for internal flights. He would only use trains. Right? So he'd go on the train, and sometimes they would stop. They stopped in Delhi one time. They were going through Delhi, and there wasn't a temple there yet. There was like 40 of them on the train. And Prabhupada turned around to about four of them, and he said, "Get off and start a temple." This is how ISKCON started. Prabhupada said, "Get off and start a temple." So everyone just picked up their bags, got off on the platform. Train left, Prabhupada just said. And that was it. Right? They're just sitting there on the platform like, "Now, okay, now we're going to start a temple." That's how Prabhupada did. Right? So when you become a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, the guru gives you difficult instructions. It's not easy. So there was a difficult instruction for Uddhava. You have to stay. And Krishna said, because Krishna traveled quite a bit when he was on the planet in Dwarka, he traveled around, he went down to Hastinapur, and he went to, if you look at his pastimes, he traveled actually quite a bit around the northern part of India. And he even traveled down a little bit to kill, which demon was it? I think Pondraka, like that. So he traveled a little bit around. But he never got to the Himalaya. He never went to Bhadrikashram. And Krishna had a desire to go to Bhadrikashram because there were rishis and sages who needed to hear from Krishna directly. They were waiting. So Krishna, he did not go. So he said to Uddhava, "You will go on my behalf." So Krishna, he instructed Uddhava. And that's what the 11th canto is. It's called Uddhava Gita. Right? That's the final discussion. Right? So he says, "Now you will go to Himalaya and you will teach." So then he instructed Uddhava. Uddhava learnt everything because he's Shutidhara. He just heard it. Everything was memorized. Right? And then he left. Very difficult. And he started traveling towards Bhadrikashram. But then just after that, then the war took place, the fratricidal war at Prabhas Chetra. So all the Yadavas, they went to Prabhas, and the whole dynasty was destroyed. There was a fratricidal war. Now Prabhupada points out there was no actual war. Because these are Krishna's eternal associates. They're not going to kill each other. Because they can't kill each other, because they're Krishna's eternal associates. So it was a Mahamaya. Like a Yogamaya Maha. It was a pastime. It didn't actually take place. It just appeared that everyone was killing each other. But it was just like a magical act. But actually they all went back to the spiritual world. Or they went to the next universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes. So when Uddhava was traveling, Uddhava heard that this war had taken place. So he turned back. And he came back to Prabhas Chetra. And the only person who was left was Krishna. Right? All the Yadavas were gone. Balaram entered into the ocean. Right? Balaram. Because at the end of the war, there was only Krishna and Balaram left. So Balaram entered into the ocean, disappeared. And then Krishna was the only one. So Krishna sat down under a small banyan tree. And then Uddhava came back and he sat next to him, in front of him. And then Krishna spoke again. He'd already spoken Uddhava Gita. Now he speaks another pastime. And what does Krishna speak? That's what's now in the third canto, what we're about to hear in the next couple of years. This is the final instruction of Krishna to Uddhava. So then there's one sage, he also came. Just like when there's some nectar. Then the devotees come. They hear, "Oh, there's a Bhagavatam class. Your Maharaj is giving a Bhagavatam class." So everyone runs. Right? So imagine you hear, Krishna's giving a Bhagavatam class next to Albert Park Lake. Right? Everyone just, we all just run. Where, and then they said, so Maitreya came and he sat. So Uddhava and Krishna were speaking. That pastime was going on. And then Maitreya listened to the whole pastime. So then at the end of that, Maitreya left, Uddhava left. Krishna said, now go to Bhadrika Ashram. So Uddhava began to travel. Maitreya also left, right? And then Krishna, then he left this world, right? It says that a hunter came and shot him in the foot, right? And then Krishna got hit by the arrow in the foot and he died. And that was it. And he left a material body. He left a material form. So all the atheists said, see, he's not God. And Krishna said, okay, you think I'm not God? I'll leave a material form. But we don't accept that. Krishna just got through Kurukshetra. You know, he fought with Indra. He fought with Shiva. Yeah, you know, I mean, Krishna, you know, he fought with Shalva. Yeah, I mean, you look at the wars. You read the 10th canto, what Krishna fought. All the battles. Just fought the whole Yadu dynasty. Right? And some hunter just comes with an arrow and goes like that. And Krishna gets hit in the foot and he's dead. No, it's not possible. No. But the atheists say, ah, see, now he's just a human. Like that. So. But Krishna, he disappeared by his own free will. He just went to the next universe to begin the pastimes again. So, Uddhava, he began to travel. Maitreya began to travel. And then Vidura, he's on pilgrimage because he's been told to leave. He's been told to leave. So he took that as an arrangement. He's traveling. So then he comes across Uddhava. Right? And that's what we're hearing about now. Right? Vidura and Uddhava have met. Vidura is the uncle of Krishna. Uddhava is the closest friend. Right? So then they meet. And as soon as you meet a devotee, then what do you do? If you know the devotee is advanced, because Uddhava is advanced, then what do? You say, please tell me your realizations. Right? So Vidura says to Uddhava, please tell me your realizations. So that's what he's doing here, he's speaking. But then Prabhupada makes an important point, which will be made very shortly. It's either been made or it's just about to be made, that if there's a more advanced devotee present, you don't speak in front of the more advanced devotee. Right? Sometimes we make this mistake because we're so enthusiastic as young devotees. You know, we're preaching and preaching. You know, there's a devotee sitting next to us who's been a devotee for like, you know, 20 years more than us. But like, we're preaching and we're preaching and we're preaching like that. But the etiquette is you actually let the senior devotee preach. And if he asks you, then you say something. But that's not the etiquette. So what did Uddhava do? Uddhava, he's quite young, or younger, and Maitreya is very ancient, he's very old. Even though Uddhava is more intimate with Krishna, and you could say more advanced than Maitreya, but out of etiquette, right, he speaks to him in these first four chapters, he speaks to Vidura, but then he says, you should go and hear from Maitreya. He is the senior person, he's not far from here. So he sends him to Maitreya, and then the conversation, which Krishna spoke to Uddhava and Maitreya at the very end of his pastimes, and that is what the third canto is. That's the pastimes which will be discussed. So, it's an important etiquette. We should follow this. Unless the senior devotee asks you to speak. Like sometimes Prabhupada would say to his disciples, you give class. Which I find that hard to comprehend. Yeah, I can't imagine speaking in front of Prabhupada. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that or not. Maybe if you're with him, you could do it, but I don't know. You know, but if Prabhupada said to me, you give class, I'd just be like, you know, imagine having to speak in front of Prabhupada. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that. He'd say, you give class. And Prabhupada would sit, he would listen. So that is the etiquette. We always let the senior person speak. Now, it's interesting because Krishna's finishing his pastimes on the earth with Uddhava, with the Yadus. What does he speak at the very end? It's interesting because the third canto is the final instruction. What does he speak? He doesn't just go into his Vrindavan pastimes and begin to recount them. But he speaks about, as we said in the beginning of the class, he covers, if you go through this third canto, creation is spoken about three times. So why does Krishna emphasize this so much? And the Acharyas make comments about this. Why is it that we need to study the creation? Right? Because we're in the creation. Right? Why do we have to analyze the material energy so much? Because we're in the material energy. Right? You can't get out of the material energy until you understand you are in the material energy. Right? So that's why we're going to have a big... It's called Sankhya. The final description of the creation, which is the end of the third canto, is the instructions of Kapila. Now, Kapila's instructions are called Sankhya. Sankhya means analysis, or accounting, like that. So he's going to analyze the material energy very carefully to differentiate what is matter, what is spirit. That is the purpose of Sankhya. Right? To understand what is matter, what is spirit. To understand the nature of both. Because if we don't understand what is matter, we cannot detach ourselves from matter. Because what is our problem? What is our problem in this material world? Yeah, we're attached to matter. Right, we're attached to matter. Right? Just like there's that famous play that they used to do in ISKCON in the 1970s. We used to do a lot of dramas. Now dramas are making a comeback in ISKCON. But in the early days, there were a lot of dramas. Right? And one of the famous dramas is called Liquid Beauty. So we all know that. Everyone knows it, right? Hands up if you don't know Liquid Beauty. Okay. Practically everyone knows. So then one boy is attached to one girl. Right? So he comes in and he says, I want to marry you. He said, okay, come back in 3 days. Right? So he leaves. Right? For 3 days, she takes, you know, special herbs to make her vomit and have diarrhea. And, you know. So after 3 days, he comes back to see her. And she keeps it all. Right? Keeps all the vomit and all the diarrhea in it. Keeps it like in pots. So you have to be careful who you marry. she keeps all this, right? And then he comes back in 3 days, knocks on the door. She opens the door, and she looks terrible. Yeah, after 3 days, and then she's made herself sick. And yeah, he looks and he says, you know, where is my fiance? You know, where is this going? He says, it is me. He says, oh, what happened to you? And then she shows him the pots. She said, this is me. This is what you're attached to. I don't know if they get married or not. I never heard. So what would you do? Yeah, if you had a girl like that, what would you do? Or if you had a boy like that, would you go through and marry them? Yeah. But she was making a point. Right? This is what you're attached to. Right? But when it's packaged in a particular way, right, then we become bewildered by Maya. Lord Shiva, he makes a very powerful statement. There's one verse by Shiva. It might be Padma Purana, I can't remember where it is. But Lord Shiva says that men should meditate on the breasts of the women as being bags of blood. And Lord Shiva says you should meditate on this again and again. In other words, understand what it actually is. Because we become bewildered in this material world. Right? But actually, what we're attached to is just blood. Like that. There's one class many years ago I heard, one Prabhupada disciple, he was saying, beauty in this world is vertical. Means that when the person is standing vertically, we're very attached to them. Oh, they look so nice. Very nice looking girl, very nice looking boy. But he said, you cut them here, and then you just go, and give everyone a horizontal view, right? Then you're not so attached to the person. When you see what's inside here, but when we see the external, and that's what is called Maya. Maya means that which is not. Technically, this is what Sankhya is about. Sankhya is analyzing that what we are attached to is actually unpalatable. But because of Maya, illusion, then we become attached to something which is not actually what it seems. And if you go to the 10th canto, there is the pastime of Rukmini and Krishna, and Rukmini is fanning Krishna in Dwarka. And then Krishna, he's joking with her. Krishna's a very, he's Dira Lalita. That's one of his, he has four types of personality. One is Dira Lalita, which means always joking. And in Vrindavan, that's what he's like. But in Dwarka, Rukmini is fanning him. And then he looks at her and he says, why did you marry me anyway? He says, why didn't you marry Shishupal? He was a much better king. Why didn't you marry Jarasandha? Right? He was much wealthier. And he starts saying all that. And Rukmini, she can't believe it. Right? She almost faints. She just cannot believe, why are you even saying this? How can you say these words to me? Like that. Like Krishna's just joking. But then when he sees, you know, how much he's affecting her, then he pulls back. But then Rukmini, she says to Krishna, how can I be attached to these men whose bodies are made of skin and hair and muscle and blood and fat and mucus and bile? How can I, you want me to be attached to that instead of you? Sachit Ananda Vigraha. So that is our defect in this world. All of us are attached to Maya. Because it's just constructed in a particular way, we become attached to Maya. And that's why Prabhupada said deity worship is extremely important, especially for grihasthas. We have to worship the deity because then our attachment to the material energy becomes reposed upon the spiritual form of the Lord. That's why we worship the deity, to purify our senses so that then we can chant purely. Prabhupada explains that there's a Pancharatriki Vidhi Marg, which means deity worship, and there's a Bhagavad Vidhi Marg. This is the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the early purports Prabhupada describes. Prabhupada said, actually, the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg is sufficient to take us back to Godhead. In other words, we can just chant Hare Krishna and hear Bhagavatam, that's enough to take us back to Godhead. But Prabhupada said, because most of us are materially conditioned, we also need deity, we need deity worship simultaneously. Because deity worship purifies the senses so that when you do hear and chant, right, you will get the effect of the hearing and chanting. Some devotees can just hear and chant, that's enough. They'll go back to Godhead. But most devotees will need both systems. So that is the process. So this whole third canto is a description of how to become detached from the material energy. That's why Krishna doesn't go straight into his pastimes. Krishna's speaking to Uddhava, Maitreya. He could have said, do you know what happened in Vrindavan? And he could have just spoken about his pastimes with the gopis, but no. Because first we must become detached. That's why we have to study the Bhagavatam categorically. That's why we're going through Canto 3. We won't be in Canto 10 again for another 15 years. Because we need to hear all of the instructions and imbibe it. And if you get to Canto 9, Prabhupada said, at the end of Canto 9, you should be a God-realized soul. He says that in the introduction. So if we're not God-realized, we should go back and start again. Prabhupada said, if you still have a desire for illicit sex, you should not go past Canto 1 and 2. So it means technically, in one sense, we shouldn't even be studying Canto 3, in one sense. But the point is we have to become detached. That's why we're here. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Because the senses are being used in Krishna's service. Prabhupada says that the service to the deity is non-different from the service in the spiritual world. So when we make a garland for the deity, in the spiritual world they're also making garlands for the deities. So the senses of the soul are being used in the service of Krishna. So it purifies the senses. Does that make sense?
Prayers to deity also. Prayers to deity also purify any senses.
Purifies the mind. Yeah. Purifies the mind. But you have to do something. You can't just pray all day. If everyone just stands in front of the altar and prays all day, you know, eventually Krishna's going to say, why doesn't someone come and cook? You You're all sitting there praying all day. Why don't you do something? I'm hungry. You know, I need to be dressed. I need to change. I need to bathe, like that sort. So we can't just pray all day. We have to do some seva. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question? Yes, sir. Serving Guru and serving Krishna, there is no difference. Because it says that the Guru is a Shraya Vigraha. That's spoken of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are not qualified to serve Radha Krishna. Even we are serving Radha Ballabha. But Prabhupada says, Lakshmi Narayana are accepting our service at this point in time. Because you can only serve Radha and Krishna on this spontaneous platform. So at this point in time, we have no qualification to serve Radha Krishna. So Guru appears to accept our service. Ashraya Vigraha means to purify us, to train us, so one day we'll become qualified to serve Radha Krishna. So the two are not different. Prabhupada says, hearing the pastimes of the Guru, Prabhupada Lilamrita, or hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna book, he said the two are not different. In other words, they will equally purify your consciousness. So serving Guru or serving Krishna equally purifies consciousness. And Guru, one day Guru, he will pass us on to Radha and Krishna when we are qualified. But it will take a bit of time. Any other question?
The question is, when the devotees they face a problem in their material life, whether they should approach to Krishna and tell them to solve the problem or should not do it. They should accept it, as you said. It is the beginning of the devotional life. So the Krishna gives the problem. So, what they should do?
If you're having a problem, and then should you go to Krishna and say, Krishna, can you solve the problem? You can go to Krishna, but it's up to him what he wants to do. So Prabhupada said that when we go to Krishna, we always say, Krishna, if you desire. Because maybe Krishna doesn't want to solve the problem. Maybe he wants to give you more problem. So if you go to Krishna and say, Krishna, please solve this problem. For a start, Krishna gave you the problem. Right? So if you go to him and you say, Krishna, I have a problem. If you desire, like that. Generally, that's how we pray. When I come before the deities, I don't tend to pray to them to solve my problems. Because the deities are conscious all the time. Like, I'm with the deities all the time. We're always with Krishna all the time. So there's always internal dialogue going on between the devotee and Krishna. Krishna knows our problems. He's there. He's with us all the time. So he knows what the problems are. So sometimes I say to Krishna, this is difficult for me, right? And it's making it difficult for me to attain you. Maybe you can do something. But then that's up to him, how he wants to. But when you come in directly in front of the deities, then you should just be with the deities. You should just pray to them for service. Just say, give me service. Right? If you solve my problem or don't solve my problem, that's your choice, but just give me service. So when you come directly before the deity, that's what you should pray for. Right? How can I serve you? Right? And then what will they say? They say, serve my devotees. Any other point? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Gaura,
Gaura.